here with Phil Montgomery. Welcome. Thank you for being here.
Great. Thanks for having me.
You are running for school board. It's a time-intensive and a lot of times difficult position. So before we get started, just talk to us a little bit about why you're running. And as you're talking about your motivations to run, just a little bit about yourself and your background.
Yeah, so my husband and I have two daughters that are in the district. They go to the STEM middle school. And as I sit and look at the future of the district, I couldn't sit by anymore and watch things happen. And I want to make sure that all kids in the Akron Public School District get the right representation for them as we move forward as a school board and what the community looks like. And so in my day job, I'm the director of finance and budget for Summit County. We operate a $650 million operating budget that's about on par with what Akron Public School District is. And so I think outside of the educator route, I provide a different perspective to the board as they walk into seeking a levy and building new, continuing to build new buildings. And I think just there are financial and operational needs that exist within the board and the district that aren't there. And so I felt motivated this time to step up. I was an Akron City Councilman. I, for a brief period, I filled an unexpired term, but for the last 10 or so years, I've served in both the city of Akron's administration and now the county's administration. So political office wasn't exactly my desire, but I just can't sit back and watch anymore. So I'm ready to roll up my sleeves and do what's needed for the district.
Great. Well, you made it clear what your top motivation is. If elected, what would be most important to you about serving? Where do you hope to have the most impact?
I think it's bringing the community back together. There's a little bit of disconnect between the administration and the board and the community in terms of the initiatives that they're trying to deploy across the district. When we look at the long-term operating plan that they presented and the five-year forecast that was just announced and the need to seek a levy, I give the current board some credit with the recent decision to punt on the levy to November instead of trying to rush it through in March. And when you send a message that, oh, our five-year forecast is in the black for the next 5 years, but oh, we need an operating levy that we haven't had in 13 years. The messaging, the need is there for the levy. I've supported every levy since I registered to vote when I was 18 years old. And we're regardless of whether I had kids. And so when you look at having that conversation with the community, you have to present the information. You have to get out in the community. I think that the board has gotten away from roadshows and going out into the different wards of the community. And so it's the ideology of how might we do something together and not necessarily here's what we're doing to you or for you. So I think the conversations need to start back up.
Right. And we'll have more on the levy later. But what do you see as the biggest issues that the board has to look at over the next 12 to 18 months, levy aside?
I think it's, again, I'm going to stick with communication. It's rebuilding the trust with the parents and the residents of the school district. I think it is looking at, when you look at academic achievement, there is the conversation that students aren't just the numbers, although the numbers and the metrics are what we see in the scorecards. But we have to look at the wraparound, the full-on holistic approach of the students and what is going to make them successful. School security, safety is an issue. the buildings, when you look at 12 to 14 of the buildings are at less than 60% capacity, but they're looking at building a new one in Kenmore. It's not to say that Kenmore doesn't need a school or that Miller South doesn't need a state-of-the-art facility, but it's got to be about how do you rearrange what you have and focus on what is feasible at the time. So we have to continue to strive for academic success. But the other side of it is Akron Public Schools has a lot of great programs. They just don't market it. They have one person in marketing or communications in Akron Public Schools. A lot of people don't know that Akron Early College, number one, they don't know it's an Akron Public School school. Number two, they don't know that it's the number one high school in Summit County. It beats Hudson. Like, they have assets. They just need to market them and capitalize on them.
College and career academies, on that note, how has that model benefited students, the business community, the broader workforce ecosystem?
I think the college and career academies are great. I think they can be amped up. I think that the community and corporate partnerships that were derived out of that has been an amazing model. People from across the country come to us to look and see what that looks like. It's interesting because as I've been running for this race, and we've had two debates or forums so far, and people talk about bringing back vocational, it's there. It's the college and career academies. And you know, I've been saying college is not for everybody. We know that. And our trades, our union trade labor is dwindling. And so if you can walk out of high school and no HVAC and no plumbing, electrical, being a cosmetologist, those opportunities exist, as is the college part of it. So we have partners with Kent State and Stark State. And so you can walk out of high school in Akron Public Schools and have a choice to go into a college track and go get educated and pursue whatever career it is you want to do in that track. But you can also walk out and have a job on day one. And some of those jobs are going to pay six figures. I mean, it's just everybody needs to understand that it's there.
Long term, any ideas or vision on how we could improve it to bring even greater value?
I think it's just to continue to grow the partnerships. And again, I go back to telling our story. If people know what it is, if they truly understand what college and career academies are in the district, you can't not love it. You just got to understand what it is. And then we bring the corporate partners in. I mean, it has been financially amazing for the district to have those partnerships, but it's just great for the kids to be able, like, okay, if I want to go into finance, I have a partnership with Huntington. If I want to go into medical, there's a partnership with SUMA. It's just, we've got to tell our story.
As that work continues to grow and evolve and take different forms over the years, how can the board as a policy-oriented body help ensure an equitable experience for those students going through this K-12 system?
So there's equity in education, and there's equity in how we get things done, and there's equity in how the state funds the district. I mean, everything is interesting in terms of how it all interrelates and who's in charge of what. The board is a policymaking entity. And so I think the board has to support the initiatives. I think the board's role is to put parameters around the superintendent and the treasurer and help facilitate and advise on making changes that are sustainable and equitable for the students. And so just being an advocate on the students' behalf and on what the college and career academies are trying to achieve.
So you just touched on what you view the board's role to be generally. If elected, what would your individual primary role as a board member be? Where would you like to spend most of your time and attention?
So my time and attention at this point is being a voice of the community. I think that has been lacking for quite a while, that we're not going out, the board isn't going out and seeking the input of the community. They're not going out and saying, here's what we're looking at. What do you think? Having a conversation. If you look at the Akron City Council people, they have ward meetings every month. Why aren't we in the community having conversations every month or once a quarter with families about what's going on in the district? And just, again, telling the message. Community and communication are the two things that I've been harping on in this entire campaign. And it really is my priority to reconnect the families and the community with the board.
Right. As I'm sure you're aware, the state recently expanded its voucher program, which could possibly create pressure on student enrollment. How could APS be more competitive in that space? And how could the board be thinking differently about the challenges that it faces?
Again, it's telling our story. It's telling the good things that we already have in place and getting people to come enroll in our district. Akron Early College isn't all APS students. There are out-of-district people enrolled in there. STEM High School, STEM Middle School, there are out-of-district people enrolled there. It's happening. We just have to tell our story and continue to talk about the international baccalaureate programs that we have in some of our schools. If we tell our story, it will resonate with folks and they'll come. The board needs to just focus on being advocates too at the state legislature. So this expansion of the voucher program is painful. It's one of the several onslaughts the state legislature has taken on public education. They have passed a bill in the budget bill, which hopefully is found to be unconstitutional because they put it in the budget bill to collapse the state school board and put it under one appointed official under the governor. But two, recently I read that there are a couple state representatives that have sponsored a bill to make school board races partisan. So the state legislature is trying to intercede in our nonpartisan school board races and provide opportunities for the voucher program to have just gut public education. And in reality, with the voucher program, there's not capacity in the private schools necessarily to change things. So I don't think everybody's going to, there's not going to be a mass exodus, but what it is going to do is it's just going to take money from the public school and give it to families that are already sending their kids to private school. So I just think that we as a school board will need to be advocates. We need to be down in Columbus lobbying our legislators to not gut public education. A lot of people aren't aware also, publicly funded education started in Akron, Ohio. There is a placard outside of the Summit County Courthouse that the Ohio Education Association dedicated earlier this year that talks about it. So the Akron community has been at the forefront of publicly funded education, and we need to continue to be advocates for that.
That's great. These are tough issues. The board frequently deals with tough issues, and you guys have to make tough decisions among a variety of perspectives and stakeholders. How do you envision engaging with your fellow members on these kinds of issues without necessarily creating a situation where there's a lack of communication or, you know, prolonged disagreement?
So in my 10 years in public service, I've had to have difficult conversations. When I was at the city of Akron, I was part of the negotiating team with the consent decree on the combined sewer overflow project. Everybody still today talks about their sewer bills and their water bills at the city. So I've been there, but what I did when I made those decisions, I went to the community and I said, here's what we're doing and here's why. Here's what it means to you. So I think it's just continuing to engage in the difficult conversations. You can't hide from it. You can't throw it on people. You just have to go have the conversations. If you give them the right data and talk to them about the necessity of what you're doing, you can get people to understand. It's not easy. It's painful. Sometimes you have to have 3, 4, 5 conversations about it. But if you're doing what is right, the conversation isn't hard overall. And so I think just continuing to engage in that, making sure that we're making decisions that are fact-based, that are what is right for the students, but what is right for the educators, but what is right for the community. Like, you have to factor all of those things in. And it's not easy. It's gonna be a rough road for a little while, but I think we can get back on the right track and put APS first and have success in telling our story and what it is we want to achieve for kids and their education.
Great. Going back to the levy real quick, understanding that the current board is looking now at November of 2024, it sounds like you would like to see the board out there engaging the community, explaining as to why this is needed, important, outside of that deep community engagement piece. What do you view the board can and should be doing to help garner the support it needs next year?
So, excuse me, when I talk about rebuilding the trust, if you go out in March, there's no support for it. The board, the current perception of the board is in disarray. We have a new superintendent. You have a 5-year forecast that says you're in the black, but you're out there saying that you need to raise more money. And so I think you have to go out and rebuild the trust, but you have to give them the information. Here's why. Not a lot of people understand that in the 1970s, House Bill, I think it's 920, says that levies cannot raise a penny more than the amount they were intended to raise the year it was passed. So Akron Public Schools hasn't passed a levy in 13 years. I don't know yet what the amount the levy collects. I will look into that. But let's say it collects $50 million 13 years ago. It still collects $50 million today, even though property taxes have gone up, inflation has happened, and all these other things have happened. It adjusts the millage based on what it was intended to collect. So imagine not getting a raise for 13 years in your job. You have to operate on the same amount of income for 13 years, even though costs have gone up. So the need is there, but I think the information has not been presented entirely to the community in a way in which for people to support it. So I think that if we spend some time educating the community, we'll get the businesses on board after that. We're going to need a chair, a public cheerleader to help us facilitate this. And I don't think we can get that today. And I think we just need to spend some time educating, presenting the information, and really laying out the need, because it's not a tomorrow problem. It's a 5-year plan for how do we sustain what's going on and start to make change. So even if the levy passed, you don't collect it till the next year. So there's timing of everything that's involved in that. And I just don't know if the general public knows how levies work and go through all of the motions. So I think it's just, again, regaining the trust, educating them on all the information, and putting out all of the information.
Thanks for your perspective on that. There's a lot of work ahead. And thanks for your answers to the other questions as well. Before we wrap up, any closing remarks, final thoughts?
I just think that Akron Public Schools is a gem in this community that has been overlooked for a while. There are, I think, 75% of the kids that live in Akron are enrolled in Akron Public Schools. We need to bring that, as much of that other 25% back, because we really do have good programs, smart kids, and it's just something that we have to be dedicated as a community to make sure that everybody that lives in Akron has an equal opportunity to education, and they get the education they need on their terms. I keep saying that the other part of this is that students need to advocate for themselves. They need to speak up and say, hey, I'm not getting what I need, and have those conversations. So it's something that I'm passionate about, and I look forward to being part of the community conversations.
Bill Montgomery, thank you.
Thank you.